Part two. So, just another note on the podcast index stuff. I think it looks like a sick, awesome product. Clearly, there's been a lot of work put into it. It looks really polished, looks great. I'm not sure it's gonna, explode in use at first. I mean, amongst the Bitcoin crowd, it probably will, but. And this isn't a knock, it's just my opinion, and I could be wrong. I just think people are getting into Bitcoin right now due to the state of the world. They're getting into Bitcoin because anything else that value is stored in is collapsing against Bitcoin, and we're in the grand race to convert everything to the unit of count. Of Bitcoin, and we've pretty much just begun that. I don't think that's going to be ending anytime soon. And some would argue, due to the degradation of the traditional system, there's not even going to be another market cycle. There's going to be volatility, but I'm not sure you're going to see these 2-year bear markets. So it's almost like we're going from 0 to 1 or final price discovery, and so how long is that going to take? I don't know, but what I'm getting at is people are rushing into Bitcoin. No one wants to spend their Bitcoin due to this reality. It's not a bad thing in terms of for Bitcoin, it is a good thing. It has already won as a store of value, as apparent by the this current incoming increase, but it's like, so who's gonna use this stuff? It's gonna be people who already have Bitcoin who are using Lightning, and that's great. And podcasters who want to receive in it, but who's going to be spending it that doesn't already have Bitcoin and is running Lightning? Now, if we do solve the problem of making it easy for the average person to get into Lightning as their first way into Bitcoin, when is that going to happen? Could it happen tomorrow? I suppose it could, but that's probably not going to happen in the near future. And even if that's the case, do people even want to spend their Bitcoin, even if it's really small amounts? I don't know the answer. I don't think it's going to be yes for a few years. I could be wrong until we've reached final price discovery. So, in other words, if we, if you have another system that lets people enter the cryptocurrency ecosystem, by mining or earning this other currency, which people are not so worried about, not spending because it's going to be worth so much more money a few weeks from the time they get it, an ecosystem that encourages more spending in the near term, and that could sort of be a way into the Bitcoin world, right? If you produce good enough content, we're going to get into all that soon. If you sort of incorporate this other system of identity and an easier way into the cryptocurrency ecosystem, you could s potentially cater to a bigger crowd of people. In other words, you might incentivize people who don't already own Bitcoin to get involved. I mean, that's what we're trying to do. And so, if we're successful, then that flows over to your idea. Now, again, everything benefits from everything else. So, if cloud chains are a fork of Bitcoin, or forks of Bitcoin and Litecoin, very easy to just, they're very much Presumably they'd be a modern fork, SegWit, capable, so you could just port some Lightning software easily over to it. So anything that's designed to work with Lightning for Bitcoin could be used for Clout, and easily exchangeable between Clout and Bitcoin and all that through the Lightning network, right? But with that said, I don't think Clout transaction fees are going to be very high or even existent at all, just due to the nature of the economics of a cryptocurrency in its early days of issuance, right? Because the block subsidy, it dominates the block reward, and like early Bitcoin, transactions should be nearly free, if not free. Again, that is not to say, of course, it wouldn't encounter the same problems down the line given a big enough scale, but the point is not to be Bitcoin, right? It's not the global money, it's the economic throughput of a particular identity. So, would it even get there, right? The point is not to get there. So, back to this overview of the system, right? So everything in the system emanates in hash power, right? It's all rooted in hash power, which is really the fairest way to do something, to start a system in the modern world, right? It eliminates the need for having intermediaries that you need to suck up to or appease in order to get involved in the system. Instead, you are evaluated on your own merits through the market of hash power and further Bitcoin. So you have three ways to get involved in the system. It's rooted in hash power, or through Bitcoin, which is itself rooted in hash power, right? Because you could use Bitcoin to get your hands on anyone's clout through the free market of that. And then there's the most important way, which is just you getting involved. And I think this is really the vision of Bitcoin, down the line, is for people to not have to get involved. Like, the people, there's so many talented people in the billions of people in the world who may not necessarily have the money to get involved, but they do have the talent and the services and the products they could make with that talent or the entrepreneurship, etc., to earn a stake in Bitcoin. And so, obviously, there's hardware and computer and technology hurdles involved in that in some parts of the world, but hopefully, we're aiming to get that solved regardless, with Bitcoin in and of itself, right? So, the point is, if you could secure a private key, then you could use your talents to earn your way into the system. Whether you even have your own block publishing server to start or not, if you're putting out good stuff or you just happen to be aware of this idea and get involved early enough, then you will be rewarded. So, whether that's just in the form of content, I mean, sure, it's mostly social media, this stuff, but the way I think about it is everything is social media now, right? So, putting information in the form of code can be social media, not in the sense, in the sense of, you already have this interaction throughout the history of Bitcoin, where you have this talent of the devs, but you also have the wider community and people who run the nodes, the people who mine, the people who run the exchanges and businesses, etc., etc. But they're all kind of communicating around this code, whether it's actually in the form of code or not, through social media. But so literally, with the true social network, you can literally put information in the form of code, to an extent as content, right? Whether you want to call it content or not, in the same system, really. Maybe we shouldn't call it social media, but in the same system you use for social media, you can open up a project under a certain directory, GitTruth, which will have its own rules of, you know, making packages and this and that, and it's a better way to do that as well. So you got your hash power, you got Bitcoin are sort of the audience that the system starts with to give value to clout, but the people who are, you know, trying to attract that energy are those who are putting out good content in the form of social media, or those who are putting out good code on GitTruth, or, you know, maybe eventually those who are putting out good art for some of these creative server feed based or node based systems, more profit motivated stuff like music or something like that. So we have the meat and potatoes of the protocol. I think it works. It based the bulk of it is pretty sound and based in good incentives. Now, there's a lot of work to be done, just as there was for Bitcoin in 2009, right? Got a lot of code that needs to be written. A lot of stuff will probably be manual at first, and then it'll become more automated. Got to decide what's needs to be automated, what is not. Right, you have your protocol, and then you have people who hopefully will write good implementations, you know, or clients that run the protocol, right? So I don't want to go too long on this one, but before we finish, there's one last major topic, this one more technical, that I wanted to talk about, which is this idea of tipping multiple... tipping clout of multiple cloud chains to one address, right? So first of all, we have to differentiate between cloud addresses and, or I should say, versus TSN addresses, or TSN and lightweight addresses. So your TSN address or your lightweight address, which could potentially become a TSN address down the line, are an identity address, right? You sign things from them, creating fingerprints from your identity, which, if you're running a BPS, goes in your identity chain or your blockchain, right? So that's very different from cloud addresses, right? So you only have one TSN address, and, you know, cloud addresses are wallet addresses for you know, the unit of account of clout, two very different things. You could have an infinite amount of clout addresses, just as you do with Bitcoin or anything else, and you only have one identity address, right, or TSN address. So now, in all cryptocurrencies, right, you have the public key infrastructure, right, and so it's important to grasp, you have Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, all these thousands of cryptocurrencies. And so in order to avoid confusion, they have these prefixes, right? So, you know, Bitcoin SegWit address starts with, I think it's 1BTC, you know, like they have BTC in the prefix. Litecoin addresses have LTC in the prefix. So they have these sort of cordoned off spaces, cordoned off sections of this big address space, right? Which really, the real reason for them is to avoid confusion, right? Because, you know, basically, your client is checking that Bitcoin was sent from Bitcoin to another Bitcoin address or your wallet. So it's checking that prefix in a checksum, I believe. So here's the thing. This is done to avoid confusion, right? But it doesn't necessarily have to be done. In other words, Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, and I think this is the best way to explain this, before the fork, there was no differentiation between the prefix, right? And then eventually, I believe they did make a differentiation so people know, you know, this is a Bitcoin Cash address. I think they did, I'm not sure. So here's the deal. Bitcoin Cash was a fork of Bitcoin. So people who owned Bitcoin before the fork owned, you know, Bcash on their chain after the fork. So you had this problem of what were called replay attacks because, as I understand it, you could basically replay the exact transaction that is done on Bitcoin after the fork on the Bcash chain, right? Because they would have the same inputs, right? Okay, every transaction is referencing an input in order to spend it as an output. So here's the point. We don't have that problem with cloud chains because it's not as if every cloud chain, every unique, right, cloud chain that a TSN address has shares the inputs of any other cloud chain. So you could have, whether you could have a universal prefix for all cloud chains, but it wouldn't seem to serve the same purpose as it does with other cryptocurrencies, right? Because it's not as if, because you're not preventing that confusion. Like, you actually want to be able to send multiple cryptos or multiple clout units from different chains to the same address. You actually want to be able to do that. And so the reason you can do this is because all inputs are unique to the cloud chain in which they were mined, right? All inputs on any blockchain start from a Coinbase reward. So the Coinbase rewards on my cloud chain are going to be completely unique from the Coinbase rewards on any other cloud chain. And all transactions originally link back to, you know, they're basically a chain of digital signatures that lead back to the Coinbase reward, or in our case, the cloud-based reward from which they were created. So you can't replay, I don't think you can replay a transaction from one cloud chain on another because the inputs from one cloud chain do not exist on another cloud chain. So, you know, you could have a prefix for every single cloud chain, but that's kind of silly because you want to be able to be tipped in other cloud chains, right? So if you're going to do any of it, any prefix, it'd probably be for the whole cloud chain system, but it wouldn't be serving the same purpose as it does with traditional prefixes, right? If you're even going to have it. Or you could just use the literal cryptocurrency PKI. Like, you could just use Bitcoin, Litecoin, or any address that just has public key, private key cryptography as your set. But if you wanted to sort of narrow it down for a checksum feature, you could create a prefix for the whole system. But again, it wouldn't be unique to each cloud chain. But so no cloud chain knows the state of any other cloud chain, right? They have no idea what transactions occurred on another chain. So say you have an address, right? One CLT, then random string of letters that you own, and you get tipped from Bob on his cloud chain, right? 50 of Bob's cloud, and you get tipped from Alice, you know, 10 of Alice's cloud, they're both tipping to your OneCloud address from their own chains, right? From inputs on their own chains. So you would own 10 of Alice's clout on your address, and you would own 50 of Bob's clout on your address as well. Yet you couldn't spend Alice's 10 clout input you received on Bob's chain, because if you tried, it would be rejected as an invalid transaction. There was no input on Bob's chain that, there was no input that ever existed, so it's going to reject it as an invalid transaction. So it really does work, I think, that you could do it this way, where one address, so you could potentially, tip, you could earn some of your own clout on your own BPS, and then just tip an address on a server feed instead of having to use their clout. Again, eventually it should all just be easily exchangeable, so whether you're going to just tip it with yours or exchange it for that server feed's clout, regardless, it seems like this concept works. So whether or not you even could have a prefix for every unique prefix for every cloud chain, like one BTC Joe, whatever it is, or something like that, some short thing, and each person has their own, like whether there's even enough, address space to do that for billions of people in the world, probably is, because these numbers you would think are large enough. I'm not the math guy, but you probably could, I don't know. But so I don't think you would do that anyway. I don't think you would need to. It's like silly, because it's done with traditional crypto to prevent people sending from one chain to the other accidentally, whereas we want to enable that, right? But so that aside, you could have a universal CLT prefix or something like that for the whole system of cloud chains, right? If you just wanted to do it so there's a one checksum that the client uses, was it sent from CLT, if that would make things easier, I don't know, but I suppose you could do that instead of just using a batch of random of Bitcoin, Litecoin, and anything else, right? But so all the work is going to need to be done in really these wallets, mostly in SPV wallets. And so you would have, if you get tipped some clout, if you get tipped Alice's 10 clout and Bob's 50 clout, your SPV wallet, right, is going to have to at least be connected to a node, that connected to someone running a node of both Alice and Bob's chain. Now, if Alice just started her chain and she has like almost no difficulty, maybe that's harder to do at first, but it doesn't matter also, because if it's not worth anything, then who cares? Maybe you'd get a notification, right? If someone tips you, I gotta think about that more. Or maybe it's just you query the reference in this universal explorer that will have as many nodes as possible, as I spoke about in the white paper. But so I think it really does work, because all inputs are unique to their own chain, right? Every input on a cloud chain starts with, the cloud-based transaction and all the other, starts with the cloud-based transaction, which, again, to summarize, includes the block hash of the most recent valid identity blockchain. And so those are all unique to the cloud chain that they are on, right? If you tried to spend, a cloud block, spend the cloud block as an input, or the cloud-based transaction, right, as an input on another chain, it's obviously going to be rejected because it doesn't have that stored in its chain, right? So I think it works. And so, you know, you have that differential rule, which helps you ensure that the, you know, timestamps are either valid or not, because, you know, by six blocks, they'll be practically, you know, in the chain or not, or they'll be valid or not. But of course, if that's assuming Bitcoin is the parent chain, and so it's easy. If Litecoin is the parent chain, it's the same thing. It's the six block equivalent, so, you know, 24 block differential will be used for that rule. It depends on whatever the parent chain is. If Monero is the parent chain, I forget if it's 2 minute blocks or 2.5 like Litecoin or whatever it is on Monero, but you just extrapolate out from that six block number, right, to use for that rule. All right, almost an hour now. I think we'll wrap it up there. Peace.